Mark chapter 4. I'm going to start off, before I start reading anything, is what is a parable? A parable is a fictitious or made-up story designed to teach a lesson through comparison. When you hear the story, you can relate to it in your own life. It is like an illustration for the points in a sermon. It conveys its message through analogy, through comparison, or contrast. The purpose of a parable. Parables are told so that only those who really care will come to know the truth. Not so much because they understand the parable, but because they care enough to ask what it means after the story is finished and hang around long enough to have it explained to them. The others don't really care, and they leave. Remember, the disciples didn't understand the parable, but they asked what Jesus meant after the crowd left. They had a soft and open heart. Understanding is an issue of the heart. Those who have a hard heart also have closed eyes, closed ears, and they do not understand. Another purpose for the parable was to reveal the truth about the kingdom of God. Matthew 13, verses 10 through 13 states, this is the New Living Translation. His disciples came and asked him, "Why do you use parables when you talk to people?" He replied, this is Jesus speaking now, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have, it will be taken away from them. This is why I use parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they really don't listen and understand." And you know, how true is that? Because there's been times when I've been relating a story or something that might have happened to me and, you know, to a coworker or somebody like that. And, you know, you start off talking and you're making eye contact and then, you know, a couple minutes go by and they're just kind of like wandering away and you're just going, wow, am I that boring or what's going on here? You know, are they not interested? You know, are they even hearing me? So I can understand why our Lord used parables. The human ear hears many things, but it takes a deeper kind of listening that results in spiritual understanding. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. This is where we'll start the chapter at. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight, Lord, just thanking you for this beautiful day you've given me, given all of us, Lord. I thank you for this time that we get to come together and share your word. Lord, I pray and I ask that you just speak through each and every one of us what you want us to hear tonight through these words that you have given me, Lord. And Lord, I ask that if there's any heavy hearts or any burdens upon anybody, that we could just leave that outside and spend this next couple hours just drawing close to you through the worship, through your word, and just by fellowshipping with one another, Lord. Lord, I thank you and I bless you. I thank you for your blessings upon us. And Lord, I just ask that you just speak through me. Just again, thank you for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I read the New Living Translation. I know Pastor Raul uses the ESV, and I do have one scripture in here that's from the ESV because I like the way it stated. But so most of my reading is going to be out of the New Living Translation. Chapter 4, verse 1 through 9. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lakeshore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling stories in forms of parables, such as this one. Verse 3, this is Jesus speaking. Listen, a farmer went out to sow seed. As he scattered it across the field, some of it fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, withered under the hot sun. And since it didn't have deep roots, it died. The other fell among thorns and grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seed fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted and grew and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear, listen and understand. Okay, back to verse 1. Here we see Jesus out on a boat teaching. I believe that because the crowd was so many, and as you know in the prior chapter, that they were just trying to touch him, do whatever they can, because they knew of his healing power. So he got out on the lake, got on this boat. He used his boat as his pulpit. That way he would have some distance between him and the people who are listening to his message, that they wouldn't be crowding or trying to get to him and just touch him. Can you imagine seeing Jesus out there on the boat? I mean, he had to have, I read somewhere in one of the commentaries that I was using, there could be up to 15,000 people. They had, you know, they didn't count the women and children, they just counted the men. And if each one had their spouses with them and their children, they could have an awful lot of people. Can you see him out on this boat, just a few feet from the shoreline, speaking? I mean, he needed to have a loudspeaker or something. Who knows? But it was probably an amazing sight. Verse 2. It states that these people were farmers. They were scattering seed. Jesus used familiar scenes to explain the spiritual truth. This method was to compel the listener to think. It concealed the truth from those who are stubborn or prejudiced to hear what was really being taught. You know, I would imagine that these guys, like I was stating earlier, that they were just didn't really want to hear what he wanted them to hear. So this is why he used farming, scattering the seed, putting it by the wayside, and just so he could get his point across. Verses 3 through 8, the seed was planted by hand. Here we have these farmers, you know, out there scattering the seed. Is walking around, and as they threw him out on the ground, they carried it with a large bag. You know, some of the crops, some of the seed just fell on wherever they were, because they were just, you know, they were scattering it. They're just walking around scattering it. Some of it fell on rocky soil. Some of it fell on the wayside. Some of it fell on good soil. No matter how skillful of a farmer they were, They spread it out with abundance, so when they did plow their fields, that some of it would grow, some of it wouldn't, some of it would just wither away. So this way they could ensure, the way they did this, they would ensure that they would have a good harvest. Because in back then, at that time, they didn't make rows nice and neat and put the seed out and then cover it up. They just spread it out, and then they would plow the field, and then some of it, like I said, some of it would get covered, some of it wouldn't. And so then they would we'd have our lands that would grow these crops. Verse 9 says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. To hear Jesus' word, we need to make him our Lord. We need to have him in our life so we can understand and hear these words. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This, of course, pertains to the hearing and understanding of spiritual matters. Those who cannot hear do not get it, and those who can hear clearly understand. You know, I remember as a child going to church with some friends just whenever I was invited or because they had to go, I maybe tagged along or something like that. And just because I was there, I didn't hear a thing. You know, I wasn't listening or nothing. I was just there. And I imagine this is what this means, you know. But if you have a personal relationship with the Lord, you're going to understand that. He's going to be speaking to each and every one of us. Just like, you know, I'll be hearing a message from the radio or from sitting in these chairs here, and it seems like there's no one else in the room, and I'm being spoken to directly by myself. It's the Lord speaking to us. But without me knowing him or us knowing him, that's not going to happen. Mark, chapter 4, verse 10 and 12. Later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the others who gathered around, they asked him what the parable meant. He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everything I say to outsiders, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing." When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven. Verse 11 refers to something that God, the secret refers to something God has revealed to his people. The secret which was previously unknown. It's proclaimed to all, but only those who have faith understands. Verse 12 tells us, so the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven. Isaiah 8:16 tells us, preserve the teaching of God and trust the instructions to those who follow me. Isaiah 6:9-10. And he said, yes, go and say to the people, listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. Harden the hearts of these people, plug their ears and shut their eyes. That way they will not see with their eyes, nor hear with their ears, nor understand with their hearts, and turn to me for healing. John 12, verses 39 and 40, and Acts 28, 26 and 27 confirms what the book of Isaiah tells us, that people in Jesus' times and those in times of Isaiah would not believe despite the evidence as a result God hardened their hearts. John 12, 37. But despite all the miraculous signs Jesus had done, most of the people did not believe in him. Can you imagine that? I mean, if I was back there in that time and I witnessed Jesus healing a blind man, a lame man, or a demon-possessed man, I think I would probably just fall down on the ground and just worship him and just thank him for allowing me to be part of his family and just to be involved with him, because that would be amazing. I mean, just think if one of us was able to do that. What would people think? Would they not believe? I mean, there's something wrong with that. I mean, I don't understand where these people were coming from. Because you would see a miracle like that, and you would just, my gosh, you are our God. These people were definitely not up on it, because, you know, and if they, as it says there, that he hardened their hearts. He hardened some of their hearts. Mark 4:13 through 20. And Jesus said to them, "If you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed that fell on rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or have persecution for believing God's word. The seed fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of life, the lures of wealth, and the desires of other things. So no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. But none of them could understand the spiritual meaning of Jesus until he explained the key to them. The sower sows the word, Mark 4:14. If you miss the key, you miss the whole parable. If you think the seed represents money, you miss the parable. If you think the seed represents love, you miss the parable. If you think the seed represents hard work, you miss the parable. You can only understand it by understanding the key. The sower sows, and that key was God's word. The sower sows the word. Jesus said that the word of God is like a seed. It gets planted in our hearts. Then it has the potential to bear fruit. But not every seed grows and bears fruit. The kind of soil that it lands on makes a big difference. 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again, but not of a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. The same chapter 1, verse 23, the ESV says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of Christ. That parable there should encourage each and every one of us to share God's Word. We are to teach, preach, and lead others. This is what God has called us to do. The farmer sowed good seed, but not all of it sprouted. Some of the plants didn't yield any seed at all, or didn't have any fruit at all. But we are not to stop planting that seed. To whoever we come in contact with, we are to share God's Word with everybody. We can't be discouraged. We may not always see the results of the fruit, but you always got to plant that seed. I remember one time, this was years ago, there was a truck driver at my work, and he knew I was a believer, and this one opportunity came up one day. He was going through some tough times. He was a gambler. I think he was cheating on his wife, and I spoke to him probably for about 15 minutes while he was loading his truck. And to be honest with you, it wasn't me speaking. The Holy Spirit just came upon me, because I don't remember whatever I told that guy. But I know what words... What was that? That? The words that came out was definitely of the Lord. He put those words in my mouth, and I was just amazed that I was able to do that. And I don't know whatever happened to this guy. He ended up losing his job probably a couple years later. But I planted the seed. And that's what the Lord calls us to do. So, we may not always see the results, but we are faithfully called to share His Word and teach His Word. Okay. The footpath. We hear, but we let Satan come and take it away. This is about our heart. I can honestly say that was Charlie, the footpath. For the longest time. Because I would hear, but I didn't listen. And I lived a life pleasing to Satan. Back then, rocky soil. We hear, we have joy, but we don't apply it to our lives. And then something happens, we get persecuted, or a problem comes. We haven't let God's Word take that root. So what do you do? You lose that joy. You turn back to your old ways. the thorns. This is where a lot of people get tripped up on, the thorns. We hear, but we let the worries of life, we let the wealth of life, we let the desires of the world crowd out God's word. I mean, you know, we aren't to do that. Just because you may be having a good time, you know, you're making good money, you desire to do things on the weekends instead of coming to church, then all of a sudden, those thorns just drowned out. And where are you? You're right where Satan wants you. Bearing no fruit, not even applying God's word to your life. The good soil, we hear, we apply, we share, we live, and we bear fruit. This is what we're supposed to do. This is what our lifestyle should be. We hear, we apply, we share, we live it, and we bear fruit. This is what the Lord wants us to do. No matter what. Faithfully teach His word. The different time, all these things could be different times of our life. Different phases of our life. You know, it all depends what we're going through. These different types of soil can be with us right now, at any time. It's all how we're willing to apply God's message into our life, or not applying it, or resisting. Hard hearts must be plowed up before they can receive the seed. And this can be a painful experience. Wearsby. When I read that, I knew I had to put it in here because that represents me as well. Years ago. But my heart wasn't only hard, it was cold as ice. And it had to be plowed up. I can't really say it was a painful experience, but it was had to be done to bring me to here today. Jeremiah 4:3 says, this is what the Lord says to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Plow up the hard ground of your heart. Do not waste your good seed among thorns. Hosea 10:12. I say, plant the good seed of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your heart, for now it is time to seek the Lord, that He may come and shower righteousness upon you. We need to strive to be like good soil in every areas of our life. We need to have our heart plowed from time to time. Because I admit that we all fall short. Sometimes that flesh overtakes us, changes our heart. We need to ask Him for a renewing every day. put on that full armor of God so we can stand firm against those attacks that are happening to our to ourselves. Mark 4:21 through 25, the parable of the lamp. Then Jesus asked them, "Would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where its lights will shine. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Then he added, "Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they will have, it will be taken away from them." Here it is talking about us needing to be a light. Do you let your light shine? Or do you have your dimmer switch on? Does our life show people how to find God and how to live for Him? What keeps us from letting our light shine? Is it resentment, embarrassment, stubbornness of heart, or disobedience that keep us from shining that light? A lot of times, I feel that don't want to share God's word because we're afraid that the people, the way they're going to take it, they're not going to hear and receive the way we think they should. So you may be afraid. That's when we need to step out in faith and just say, you know what? I don't care what they think of me or what they're going to say, but I need to share it. No matter what. Because I know there's times, and it's usually after the fact, the Holy Spirit's let you know, man, you messed up. You should have said something to that guy or to that woman. So I've done that a couple times, and I was able to go to another person, to go to a person that spoke to me that. When the Lord spoke to me, I'm going to tell you the story of a truck driver that was having a hard time. And for some unknown reason, I ran into him. I was busy at work. I was on my little cart. And he shared with me, and I just told him, "I'll pray for you." I kept on going. Well, not even 5 minutes later, I was just going, "Man, Charlie, you should have prayed with Don, you should have prayed with Don, you should have prayed with Don. Stop what you're doing, just took a minute." So then, I don't know what day it was like maybe a Thursday or Friday, and then I seen him the beginning of the next week. And I made it a point to stop because of the way I felt. And he told me, I asked him how he was doing, and he said, "Not good." And he started fumbling with his phone. And he was bringing up a picture for me to see. And it was his 11-year-old girl in the hospital. Her appendix had bursted. And she was not due to get out of the hospital. They already had did emergency surgery and all this stuff. And the infection had went into her blood and all. And he told me that she wasn't going to get out for probably 3 or 4 more days because She was pretty ill. And I said, well, let's pray for her. So I put my arms around him and I prayed for the Lord to heal his daughter and to comfort him and his wife. And about 2 or 3 hours later, it's at the end of the day, I was driving by in my little cart again, and all of a sudden I hear somebody yelling at me. And so I turned around and I seen it was Don, so I went back to where he was at. And he goes, brother, I'm going to ask you to pray for me for everything. And I'm going, what are you talking about? He goes, I got a phone call from my wife a half hour ago. They're releasing my daughter. She's healthy enough to come home. But just 3 hours earlier, he told me that she wasn't going to be in there, but another, she was going to be there for another 4 or 5 days. And he goes, your prayers get answered. And I told him, not my prayers, it's the Lord. It wasn't me at all. It was Jesus that did this. So we are to take every opportunity we can to pray and to share God's love with everybody we come in contact with, no matter what. It's things like that, little stories like that, that just encourage me to pray more. Because you know what? Our Lord is awesome. He can do anything. He healed this young lady well enough to come home. And I mean, as it said earlier, these people did not believe from the miracles that Jesus was doing. To me, that was a miracle right there. And I was just, and Don actually, you know, he thanked me, but I told him it's not me. And I went home and I told my wife, I go, you know, I had a really, really, good thing happened to me today, but I go, it wasn't me, it was the Lord. The Lord just used me, and I'm thankful for that. Luke 12, verses 2 and 3. The time is coming when everything that is covered up will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. Whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have whispered behind closed doors will be shouted from the housetop for all to hear. You know, we can't hide anything from our Lord. He knows all. So whatever our thoughts are, whatever we do in the dark, whatever we think we're hiding, He knows. Says it right here. That's going to be shouted from the rooftops for all to hear. James 1, verse 22 and 25. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that will set you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you for doing it. As far as when I said that prayer with my friend Don, I was blessed by that. Just by him coming back and sharing with me what the Lord had did. It was a blessing for my ears to hear. Mark 4:26 through 29, the parable of the growing seed. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he sleeps or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through. Then the head of the wheats are formed. And finally, a grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. God promises that this harvest will be magnificent, the best fruit ever. You know, our witness may be weak, or our efforts may seem to influence few, but the Word of God is powerful growth. It's a growth agent, just like putting Miracle-Gro on whatever you have planted in your garden. And keep your eyes on the great harvest to come, and don't let the bad soil or weeds discourage you from the faithful service and witness. Here comes a good parable. Mark 4, 30 through 34, the parable of the mustard seed. Jesus says, or said, "How can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It is like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and the birds can make nest in its shade." Jesus used many similar stories to illustrate, to teach the people as much as they could understand. In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables. But afterwards, when he was alone, with the disciples, he explained everything to them. Jesus used these parables to explain about Christianity in a very small beginning. It would grow into a worldwide community of believers. When you feel alone in your stand for Christ, realize that there are faithful followers of every part of this world. Your faith, no matter how small it is, join with others and accomplish great things. Verse 32 said, "It becomes the largest in all the garden plants." Ezekiel 17:23 reads, "It will become a majestic cedar, sending forth its branches and producing seed. Birds of every sort will nest in it, finding shelter and shade of its branches." God, only God can give us true hope. God said that he would plant a branch, the Messiah, whose kingdom will grow and become shelter for all who come to him. Isaiah 11:1-5 states this. This prophecy was filled by the coming of Jesus. Can you imagine? Here they have this little tiny baby seed, and it just grows into the largest of the gardens. You know, I see this as our Lord just protecting us, just with his arms around us, because of our faith. That little tiny seed was planted in our hearts at one time, and it grows and it grows and it grows. It grows into our relationship with the Lord. And I could just picture, like I said, I could just picture Jesus with his arms around us, protecting us and taking care of us. And I really never really understood this mustard seed until I looked into it. And I have a whole different outlook on it now of what Jesus meant. And I know that He's just there for all our needs, no matter what they are. And it's through that little bit of faith that we have in Him that He's going to take care of. Mark 4, 35 through 41. Jesus calms the storm. As evening came, Jesus said to His disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind. Although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with His head on a cushion. The disciples woke Him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And then He said, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" But the disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the winds and the waves obey Him." Here we see Jesus telling them, "Let's cross over to the other side." Jesus made a promise to His disciples. He didn't say to them, "Let us perish in the middle of the sea." He promised His disciples to cross over to the other side. The Sea of Galilee was a body of water about 680 feet below sea level and was surrounded by hills. Winds blowing across the land intensely close to the sea, often causing violent and unexpected storms. The disciples were seasoned fishermen, but they had spent their lives fishing on this huge lake. But during the squall, they panicked. For whatever reason, I don't know why they panicked, but they did. The Christian life may have more stormy weather than calm seas. The disciples, they needed rest, but they encountered a terrible storm. Us as Christ followers, we know that storms are surely going to come. We can't surrender to the stress. With faith in Christ, you can pray, trust, and move ahead while a squall approaches. Lean into the wind and trust God. And I can't think of any better verse than this one about this. It's the first verse I can actually say that I learned as a Christian. And I hear it repeated numerous times by my good friend Chuck. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll make your path straight." How true is that? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. That's what the disciples didn't do. They were afraid They were seasoned fishermen. They knew exactly what to do, but they didn't do anything. And then they questioned Jesus, who is this man? He must be God. Verse 41 says, the disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other, even the winds and the waves obey him. In view of what Jesus had done, the only answer to this question is he is the very Son of God. Right here we see God's presence and God's power was demonstrated when he calmed the storm. Psalm 65:7. You quiet the raging oceans with their pounding waves and silence the shouting of the nations. Psalms 107:25-30. He spoke, the wind rose, stirring up the waves. The ships were tossed to the heavens and plunged against the depths. The sailors cringed in terror. The reeds staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. What a blessing was the stillness that he brought them to safety into the harbor. Mark indicated the answer to this question in the opening of his gospel in 1:1. This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. By such miracles, Jesus sought to establish and increase the disciples' faith in his dignity. What I got out of this chapter was two things. It was about my heart and about my faith. What kind of soil is our heart? Whatever that soil is, it doesn't always have to be that way. I have a few scriptures here on both, on the heart and on faith, that I'd like to share. Deuteronomy 11, verse 15 through 17. He will give you lush pasture lands for your livestock and for yourselves. You will have all you want to eat. Be careful. Don't let your heart be deceived so that you turn away from the Lord and serve and worship other gods. If you do so, the Lord's anger will burn against you. He will shut up the skies and hold back the rain, and the ground will fail to produce its harvest. Then you will quickly die in that good land that the Lord is giving you. Revelation 3:20 is one of my favorite verses that I share with the inmates. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. That door that he's knocking at is our heart. No matter where your heart is, if he's talking to you, open it up and let it in. Let him in. Because he's there to take care of it. Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Psalm 40, verse 8. I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart. Matthew 6, verse 20 through 22. Our pastor read this Sunday. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, the thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there is the desire of your heart will also be. Your eyes is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eyes is good, your whole body is filled with the light. Here we got both things that we need to do. Shine for Jesus and have that heart for Him. That's an awesome verse. Where your treasures is, there your heart, there the desires of your heart will be. Faith, Romans 5:2. Because of your faith, Christ has brought us into the place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we can confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing with God's glory. Romans 10:8. In fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It's on your lips and in your heart. And the message is that, and the message is the very message about faith that we preach. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on guard, stand firm in faith. Be courageous, be strong. Colossians 2:7. Let your roots grow down into Him, and let your lives build on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Here we go, another thing about roots. We need to let them grow deep into to our Lord. Learn His Word. Let that seed, water that seed and let it grow. 1 Timothy 1:5. The purpose of my instructions is that all believers would be filled with love that come from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and genuine faith. 1 Timothy 1:19. Cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their conscience. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. You gotta watch out, guys. The enemy's out there, and if he wants us, he'll get us. Hebrews 4:2. For the good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith that those who listened to God. We need to share His Word, guys. Go out in faith. Revelation 14:12. This means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently, obeying His commands and maintaining their faith in Jesus. You know, how many times do we have trials and stuff, and you know, we try to take it upon ourselves, and it, you know, you just become miserable, and your life's just upside down. until we give it to Him, then everything's going to be all right. We've got to have faith in the Lord's going to take care of it. And you know what? That peace will come upon you. It's so amazing that when we do step out in faith, what happens? Second Peter verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 3. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received it. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who's called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. 1 Peter 1:7. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Through your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. So there we have it, guys. We need to stay true, always focusing on Him, and He's going to see us through anything. And we're going to be in with glory and honor on the day that He comes to take us home. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You for this evening, Lord. Lord, I thank You for these words that were spoken through me. And Lord, I just ask that, and I just pray that something was absorbed to these men tonight, Lord, about our hearts, about our faith, and about our need for You, Lord, and what You can do for us, and how You are our refuge, Lord. You are our everything. You take care of all our needs, and You provide for everything that we have, Lord, and we thank You for that. And Lord, I just pray and I ask that for the men that weren't able to make it, that You just work in their lives as well, and just to answer all their prayers, and just be with each one of us, and just guide us each in our own individual ways, Lord, and just direct our path. Just help us to be the men that You've called us to be, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that when we do have those thorns in our life, or maybe when Satan comes along our footpath, that You just remove them from us, Lord. And You just help us to each to put on that full armor of God, and just to stand firm and just be ready for whatever's going to come at us, Lord. And for us to be ready to share Your word at any given time, to whoever we come in contact with, may it be just through our actions or our reactions, Lord. Lord, I thank You for this evening, and I thank You for working in each one of our lives, Lord. We love You and we worship You, and just ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.